You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Well, you don't get a movie called Dangerous Lies without knowing that you're probably in for something that's not entirely dissimilar from a Lifetime movie. And I feel like I wasn't let down in that particular aspect of Dangerous Lies. Anyway, before we go too further into this Netflix, oh my gosh, we gotta talk about this movie. Let me talk about who is actually here with me on this review. I've got Joshua.
Hello.
And Max.
What is up, guys?
And joining us for our first review is Ray.
Woo. Hello.
Dangerous Lies is directed by Michael Scott. No, not the guy from The Office, but if you ask me, it might as well be. His IMDb page is hysterical. Full credit, the guy is a working director. Like, this guy clearly makes a living being a film director. He has been doing it for quite some time. He's constantly working on stuff. But let's just go through his last few movies. In 2019, he made My Mom's Letter from Heaven TV movie. In 2018, he did Christmas Lost and Found and Christmas on Holly Lane. He's also known for episodes of Date My Dad, Ties That Bind, Cedar Cove, and R.L. Stein's The Haunting Hour. And there's a lot of movies on his list with Christmas, Deadly, or Fatal in the title. So I think you're kind of getting the picture here of what you're in for. Now, that being said, man, some people just love this kind of pulp. I got to tell you, everything kind of depends on how entertaining it is. And for me, this didn't work. Let's give you all a brief minute to give me your general impressions. Then I'm going to go into what the story is, and then we'll get into larger impressions. But Ray, why don't you start us off?
Well, it didn't take me long, actually, in the first scene to look at it and say, this looks strangely like a CW show.
Yeah.
And specifically Riverdale, even though I've only ever seen commercials for Riverdale. And then, of course, I looked on IMDb and figured out that the cinematographer works on Riverdale. Not to mention that the main star, she's on Riverdale. So that was my first impression, and I was hoping that this was not one of the CW shows, I'm using that in quotes, that was going to let me down. I actually, by the end, ended up liking it. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
What about Joshua?
This movie sucks. I hate this movie so much. Like, this is Pretty Little Liars if it was written by an asshole. Like, more of an asshole, pardon me. As soon as I saw it was an interracial relationship, I went, okay, so he's going to treat her like shit, which, come on, Hollywood. If you're going to do the whole interracial relationship, could you not have the black guy always be shitty to his girlfriend? Just a little help here.
The whole movie spends the whole time looking sideways, like, at Usher's character, like, oh, you try to act like you're one of those black guys, but you're one of those black guys.
Yes.
And then, at the end, he gets punished anyway!
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what kind of racist asshole wrote this thing? Anyway, sorry. But Max, give me your short version.
I didn't like this at all, either. It felt like a really bad like soap opera. The acting was horrible, and the dialogue was horrible. The plot was okay, but it's just like it was so cookie cutter. I just wasn't into it like whatsoever.
Well, the story here follows as Ray said, Camila Mendez, who plays Veronica Lodge on Riverdale, a show I as well have only seen the commercials for, and went, that does not look like something that would please me. This looks more like a commercial for Riverdale than it does like actual Riverdale, I suspect. Anyway, she plays Katie. Her husband's name is Adam Usher. They're trying to pay the bills. He's in school, working very hard in a sort of economics type of lesson plan. She is working as an assistant for a very wealthy, older, single guy played by Elliot Gould, who is definitely like fading. It seems clear he's not going to be alive, but so much longer. But he's not like one of those bedridden old sick guys. He's really, if Elliot Gould really did not know he was in this movie and was like sundowning or something the whole time, he's like, what is happening? What can I do for you? What is that? Did you see that thing? Anyway, he's supposed to be charming and likable, I suppose. He dies, and everybody is like kind of horrified by it. They find out that there's a trunk full of money upstairs. They're like, look, A, he didn't have any relatives at all. Then no one would have gotten this money. B, he right before he died, he wrote you a check for like $7,000 because he knows we're having money problems. I don't see the harm here in keeping this money. It's literally just going to go to the state if we don't take it. And she reluctantly is like, okay. But there's all sorts of issues that start cropping up. Not the least appears like maybe somebody is following them. And maybe there's some other thing that this is attached to that's a little happens too late in the movie for me to give details to. But there's a, suffice it to say, there's crimey stuff that's going on around here that they just don't know. And everyone's kind of looking at them a little askance because, as it turns out, Elliot Gould left her his house and everything that he owns, as he finds out when his lawyer out of nowhere, played by Jamie Chung, shows up and says, yeah, he changed his will like a month ago and he left you everything. And so the police are kind of like, this looks weird. And her old boss is like, this looks weird. And they're like, this looks weird, because what is the deal with the cash and the other stuff they find? Oh yeah, and did I mention at the beginning of this movie, inexplicably and having very little to do with anything, Usher foils a robbery at a restaurant? So anyway, that's basically Dangerous Lies. Thankfully, short-ish, 96 minutes, at least for me. I think that it felt a lot longer. And part of the reason for that is because, man, these are some bad actors. As they say, yeah, there's only so much you can do with a garbage script. And this is such a poorly written script. Maybe these guys are going to be in like win Oscars 2 years from now. Who knows? But I'll tell you, you sure can't tell watching them deliver this dialogue.
The problem was every single choice they made was the worst possible option. Just like, they just made themselves seem more and more sketchy every single time.
The things that I didn't like was that I thought the main characters were not smart. They're not smart at all. No. You get to a point and no, you just start going, okay, you made one bad decision. Do you have to keep making them? Are there no red flags, no bells going off in your head? That took me out of it at first. By the end, like I said, I liked it. I got back into it, but they're not smart.
Yeah, it's hard to have sympathy for characters that are just this constantly doing the dumbest thing possible at every turn, doing things that just don't make any sense at all. Who would do that? No one is the answer. It's a bad Netflix movie, and they have to do this, otherwise there's no movie.
I was doing the thing where I was just like whispering to my screen. I'm like, do not do that. Why would you do that? It's sad because I really like the main girl in Riverdale. I'm a huge Riverdale fan. The writing for Riverdale is not great. This is even worse. And the more movies I see her in, the more I realize she's actually not a great actress at all. She was in that one movie with the dude from To All the Boys I've Ever Loved. It was like the same story. And she was bad in that movie too. Normally she plays like a rich, like spoiled daughter. But in this movie, she was like, they're like, oh, let's do the opposite.
Such a thing as typecasting based on the way you look. I mean, any character actor will tell you that. And she has the look of a spoiled, bratty, rich girl. She totally does. And so you don't believe for a second she's the completely sweet, nice as pie girl in this movie. She's certainly not good enough of an actress to sell you on it. Usher feels like he's walking through this, like, when can I collect my check? He's just not that interested. Elliot Gould, like I said, is like, wow, can you believe this guy's an acting legend? You'd never guess from watching this movie. I even like Jamie Chung normally, but she's just barely trying here. No one is. I mean, it's the most workman-like film I may have ever seen on Netflix, because there's stuff that's much worse than this, but this is just like this by-the-numbers product. I mean, I'm starting to think the director is actually just an AI.
You know, that would at least make sense. And I'm right there with you. Jamie Chung, usually when I see her in something, this was floating around Sucker Punch territory for me near the end, where I was just like, can this please be over? I'm done. I'm over it. Just stop. Chris, you keep saying Usher. We have to be clear. It's Jesse T. Usher, because some people might think, exactly, you know, Usher's going to come on screen, might get excited. No, no, no. It is Jesse T. Usher, Will Smith's son from the second Independence Day. And he was terrible in that. And he's somehow worse in this.
I have no idea what, like, that there was even two different people. I was not familiar with him in other things. I knew that Usher the musician actually has an acting career, sort of, kind of, as well. I know nothing about hip-hop. I kind of assumed this was just Usher. I didn't even realize it.
Well, I'm happy I brought that up. What's confusing, now granted the scripts are way better, he's great as an A-Train in The Boys. He's great in that. So you see him in this, you go, I know the scripts aren't that good, but good grief, the drop-off is insane. He starts off pretty shady anyway, and then by the end he's bordering on being killer himself, and it's just, it's so frustrating. I did think the one scene where a character is discovered to be dead, which you can probably figure out from the synopsis, but I thought that was well shot. That one scene, that 2 minutes out of like 90 or so, I thought was shot really well. Everything else I thought like a movie on Freeform.
It's not incompetently shot or anything. It doesn't look like it's an amateur shooting. It looks slick to the point of being characterless.
It had like the made-for-TV movie kind of cinematography.
This movie should have been called Paint because it was definitely by the numbers. Thank you. But it felt like 2.5 hours. It really felt long. And when I stopped the movie, I went, oh, that was barely an hour and a half. That's sad.
I fell asleep for like 3 minutes near the climax, and I woke up and I had to like rewind it for a few minutes.
I swear I was paying attention the whole time, and there is a scene where one of the characters, her boss, shows up and breaks into their house, and none of that makes any sense in the storyline.
No.
Oh, he's going to be the amateur detective and solve this thing.
Is that what it's supposed to be? Because that doesn't play... They never explain that at all.
No,
they
that's like, the thing I got from it. The only thing that made it make sense to me, because you're right, that was one of the things that didn't make any sense.
Was he in on this? What's happening? It feels like that thing from The Big Sleep, the limousine driver who gets murdered, and then at the end, you literally never find out how... I mean, he literally could not have been killed by the killer, and it's irrelevant. Is this supposed to be a tribute to that? Because it was just absurdly out of place. But so was so much... The performances were absurdly out of place, and the plot twists were absurdly out of place, and the character motivations were out of place. This is when Lifetime decides they're going to do a thriller. That's what this feels like.
Heard a lot of comparisons to, like, if Knives Out was bad. Yeah. It's actually kind of bad.
Wow. Okay. I would never have thought of the movie Knives Out and this movie in the same sentence, but, you know, people just need to watch more movies. They're like, well, I saw Knives Out, and then I saw Dangerous Lies. Oh, my friend. I have such sights to show you.
Somebody's like, oh, it's kind of like Parasite and Knives Out mixed together.
What?
Like, okay.
Well, okay.
No, it's just like those are the newest, biggest popular movies, so everybody wants to compare them to it.
I weep for our brains as a nation right now. I don't know what else to say. Let's go to final thoughts. Joshua, why don't you get us started?
Why? Yeah, this is the second review Chris and I have done. What was that last movie? Earth and Blood?
Not so good.
And I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, who is greenlighting this shit? Like, Netflix should say yes to anything? Come on, guys. Like, be better. No one's good in this. Even at 93 minutes, it still feels too long. And there's so many twists in the last 20 minutes, I was just flabbergasted. That make no sense whatsoever. There's no reason to watch this. I'll give this 3 random rooms where you can hide diamonds.
What about you, Max?
No, I didn't like this movie really at all. First, like, 20 minutes was the worst acting in the entire movie, and it got slightly better, but it just didn't really get to the level of decent. The twist was interesting. That was the only part that I kind of enjoyed, but yeah, it was way too long. It felt like a made-for-TV movie. I didn't really like any of the acting. The only person I felt like was actually trying to do something was the guy that was playing the real estate agent. The guy from that was a vampire in Twilight. It's like
Gigandet, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's something why like he that. Looked familiar. Okay.
Yeah, it took me half the movie. I was like, who is this guy? And I was like, oh, yeah, he's from Twilight. He was the only person that actually felt like he was actually like putting on a performance. This movie was dumb. I give it a 4.5 out of 10 Riverdale actors.
What about you, Ray?
Listening to you guys, sounds like maybe I was the only one that liked it just a little bit, because maybe I went with absolutely no expectations whatsoever. Maybe that's why it couldn't ruin any expectations. You're right. The first half of it, I thought, was worse than the second half. And, you know, even poor Elliot Gould, who's supposed to be, you know, I mean, he is. He's one of our great actors. And I was almost waiting for him to, and we know this from the synopsis that he kicks off. I was almost waiting for him to die because the poor guy was just phoning it in. I liked it by the end, but I think after hearing you guys talk, maybe I have to give it 3 guys on Screener Squad who hated it more than I did. Because I just don't know what else to say. I guess the only thing I was expecting was a CW movie, and that's what I got. So
I always hope for the best. Always. I always go, you know what? This is clearly going to be trash, but maybe it's going to be awesome trash. Because there is some awesome trash out there. Man, especially some of the stuff I do on our show, Digital Noise, with home releases. Sometimes we just stumble into shit. You're like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to have to watch this. And then it's like, wow, that was so gloriously awful. I will watch it again. But then there's the other kind of bad. And that's the bad that's just dull. That's just boring. That doesn't really have anything special to offer in its badness. It's bad because we've seen it before. We've seen it so much better. We see how lazy it is in trying to tie the lines between things and casting appropriately. This is a movie that does all of those things. And worst of all, insults us by having such a legend like Elliot Gould even waste his time with a role like this. When the guy's 81, he can't have that many roles left in him. And God help us if this is his last one. Across the board, I disliked this because of the fact that no one was treating it as anything more than a gig. There's no inspiration to be felt here whatsoever, and I just find that really depressing. You have the opportunity to make a film. That should be super exciting. You should want to do something with it that's going to make people want to watch it again, or do something to, you know, that's exciting on some level. Not very few people even get the chance to ever make a film, and here you are. But no, you look at this director's career and it's clear he's a guy who just can't wait to get home after a day at work of making movies, and he's made a lot. And this is and will be another movie that that guy made that no one will remember even 6 months from now, probably. I'm going to give this 2 out of 10 fervent hopes that Elliot Gould gets to be in at least one more really good movie after this, because for fuck's sakes, don't let your career go out like this way.